In Teresa Skeen's kindergarten class in Flint, most mornings are pretty quiet. Until one little boy comes in. He's thrashing and trying to bite his mom as she restrains him.
No, I'm not!
Stop.
No!
Since the water crisis, the district's seen a spike in special needs. As Michigan Radio's Kate Wells reports, many believe it's a result of lead exposure and that the state owes these kids more help.
The kindergartners are eating their school breakfast. They've got strawberry yogurt, Fruit Loops, a pastry wrapped in plastic. Meditation music is playing. They're munching, chatting at their desks. And then that little boy comes in, the one that you heard yelling, "No!" His mom is standing behind him. Her arms are wrapped around his. She's trying to restrain him. He keeps throwing his head back against her chest, trying to break free. All of the kids stop eating. They look at Mrs. Skeen as the boy shoves a desk. "How about we do this?" Mrs. Skeen says to the mom. "We will take him to the resource room. He's still not going home yet."
"I am!"
"How about you take him and while she with RTC?"
After he leaves, the other kids lean in over their Fruit Loops and tell me he's not a bad kid. He's just having a bad day.
"He's good.
Yeah, he's really good.
He is really good.
But sometimes..."
"He just runs out to run."
"Yeah, he likes his family a lot. I did not realize that because..."
"He just runs out to class."
"Oh, actually he loves his dog, I guess. Because..."
Then they turn to other important issues, like what a very good job they have done opening these tiny, impossible milk cartons.
"I never stopped giving up to opening this milk."
"You did not ever stop giving up on opening this milk."
But these meltdowns are relentless because it's not just one kid. Another little boy loses it during the morning lesson. A few minutes later, you can hear somebody screaming in the hallways.
"We'll just ignore that out there."
Mrs. Skeen's classroom is like a little oasis. She tries to keep it that way. Quiet, calm, safe. Lots of praise, lots of confidence building for the kids. And she will tell you, these behavior issues, it did not always used to be this way. Since the water crisis, the percentage of kids with special needs has nearly doubled in the district to almost 28%. That is according to the superintendent, because the most recent state data is still a couple years old. The state average, just to compare, is about 13%. Jokay Bogner teaches first and second grade. She has been in this district for about 20 years, and she says now these behavior issues are just way up.
"Way up. We never dealt with these behaviors. You might have one, two explosive kids in a couple year span. Now it's widespread."
And these kids, the youngest elementary schoolers, they were babies or even in utero during the worst of the water crisis. And there is data indicating that lead exposure that young changes kids' brains. It can make them feel angry and aggressive and struggle so much more to control those impulses. It also makes it harder for them to focus and remember things. Bogner says she sees that change in her classroom now.
"They don't have their short-term memory. So you'll teach a math concept, and the next day, they don't recall. So you have to constantly reteach.
You ask these teachers what they need, and their answer is the same. More help. More hands in the classroom. More social workers and special ed teachers. Somebody to finally take over for the long-term substitutes. Teaching comes second right now, they say, because first they have to focus so much on just managing the kids in their class.
"Not all of them get in trouble. Only some of them. Like the good kids, they don't never get in trouble."
This is Jade. She is in the third grade. She has purple beads in her hair. She loves LOL dolls, which are these tiny baby dolls that she and her friends are obsessed with.
"What is your favorite color?"
Her favorite color is pink. Jade's teacher, Mrs. Davidek, says she tries to get as much academics as possible into the morning when she says the kids are calmer. But by the end of the day, as her third graders are getting ready to leave, fights start breaking out in the classroom. One little boy puts his hands around Jade's throat. She starts crying.
"Everybody sit down right now. Head down. Now.
Stop me.
Put your head down. I will take care of it, but you need to stop."
The next day, at lunch, Jade is eating with her friends.
Turkey and gravy and mashed potatoes.
She talks about the fight and the boy who choked her. He put his hands on my neck, she says.
Put his hand on my neck like that and slammed me on the desk.
How did you feel when that was happening?
I feel scared and nervous.
After the fight, the school's principal talked with Jade and that little boy. We are not using his name to protect his privacy, but you watch him in class, and it is like the kindergartner said about their classmates. He is not a bad kid. That boy who choked Jade, he loves Legos. He has this baby face, and it lights up if you say one nice thing to him. I watched him stop another fight between two other kids. But when the staff here is already stretched so thin, they don't really have the resources for dealing with these kids' needs. And special ed kids are being disproportionately suspended and expelled from the district. The year after the water crisis began, the rate of special ed kids being removed from school shot up more than 1,000%.
I think the perception is that these are bad kids. And they're not. You can see. They're not bad kids.
Jacqueline Kildee teaches first and second grade, along with Ms. Bogner.
You know, it's hard. They need more than what I can give. And like Ms. Bogner was saying, just train me. Give me some training on how to deal with a child that's been poisoned by lead. You know, but then I think, it's never happened before. Does anyone know what the best way, you know, to work with these children is? You know, because I don't know what it is.
The bottom line is the state ended up poisoning these kids. Then they abandoned them.
Greg Little is an attorney with the Education Law Center. The center and the ACLU of Michigan sued the school district and the state on behalf of Flint kids.
And now they're not providing them with the resources that the school needs to survive.
Now, so far, they have come to a partial settlement where the state opened up a center in Flint to screen kids for special needs. But just identifying these kids is not enough, Little says. The district needs more specialists and staff, and they need better solutions than just suspending or expelling troubled kids.
And if they don't receive the care and services that they need as soon as possible, it only gets worse and worse and worse.
This lawsuit is scheduled to go to trial in the spring. But by then, another school year will be almost over, and these students who were babies and toddlers during the water crisis will still be waiting for the help that they need. I'm Kate Wells, Michigan Radio News.